Well, it's good to see y'all out this evening. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Paul the Apostle, after setting forth the fact that he declared the gospel to the Corinthians, and as I studied these books in Corinth, and after I've worked on it for some time, I realized that for the greatest part of these books, he was defending his apostleship and the fact that he preached the gospel to these people freely. But he says in verse 9, "For I am the least of the apostles, and am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." I forget the name of the preacher. He was a famous preacher from England. He said the gospel puts all things in order, puts all things in their proper place. This single phrase in verse 10, "by the grace of God, I am what I am," covers all the bases in the matter of my salvation and my acceptance before a thrice holy God. This phrase strips us bare, shuts us up, and every avenue of merit of pride on my part is cast into the dust. In the salvation of my soul and the salvation of every one of the elect souls, in the keeping of my person, in my eternal destiny, the accomplishment of it all must be laid at the door of God's free and sovereign grace. God is the God of all grace. There is no grace outside of him. And if he has shown grace to you, that says something about you. That says you're absolutely, totally, completely without merit. There's nothing about you, or of you, or in you, or from you that could ever cause God to be merciful to you. It's all by his unmerited favor. This is the testimony of every child of God. This is the song of Zion. This is the prose and the poetry and the lyric of the life in Jesus Christ. Our text is the heartbeat of every believer in the bane of free will works religion. These are not words of a man who's trying to sound humble, nor are these the words of a religious catchphrase or the stinger as the punctuation mark of some sanctimonious prattle. These are the words of a man who, though he was in ignorance, yet obtained mercy. These are the words of a man who was one born out of season, who by his own declaration was not fit to be called an apostle. Said he was less than the least of saints. In another place, he said he was the chief of sinners. And notice that the first word of verse 10 is the word but. I love that little conjunction that is stuck in so many places in Scripture, for it turns everything around and puts opposites against each other. Though all those things declared in verses 8 and 9 about his inability, his weakness, his frailty, his insuitability are true, he said, yet I am an apostle. I am a saint, and it's all by the grace of God. He said, I did not merit what I am. I did not choose to be an apostle. I could never have earned the right to be called an apostle. I do not deserve to be an apostle, but I'm an apostle by the grace of God. By pure and powerful and effectual and unmerited favor, God made me what I am. The Apostle Paul disallowed anything that smacked of human merit. He knew that he'd not even deserve to be accounted by God at all. He had been before a blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious, but he wrote in another place, I obtained mercy. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ was exceeding abundant. This redeemed sinner need no Westminster or Philadelphia Confession of Faith or Creed. There was only one suitable credo concerning his own experience of salvation, and so it is with every child of God. And we can say it here tonight if you are a child of God, by the grace of God, I am what I am. If you have a motto that you would like to repeat in your life, you'd like to have a mantra that you would like to set as what you say every day sometime during the day, let it be this. Let us wake up in the morning before we have our breakfast and say to ourselves, I am what I am by the grace of God. By the grace of God. It is equally the singular testimony of every sinner who's tasted the free and sweet and savory sovereign grace of God. And as believers, all saved sinners gladly attribute to the entire work of their salvation and all of it to the free grace of God. All my salvation, I had nothing to do with. This is what I believe the apostle and the prophets were talking about when they talk about afflicting your own soul. The affliction of the soul is the fact that I can't take credit for anything that's happened to me in the matter of salvation. And my flesh is afflicted by that thought. But my spirit rejoices in that fact. By the grace of God, I am what I am. If you are saved, you do not owe your salvation to anything you have done. If you are saved, you know this is so. If there are those here who are not converted, if ever you are to be saved, it will not be because of anything in you or anything that you do or any goodness in you at all. But here's the good news. Nor will your vileness and your depravity and your God-hating heart prevent the saving grace of God. You must unequivocally deny, disown, and disallow our own empty emotions and notions of merit. And if God saves us, that's what we'll do. We'll practice those words. If we've been made to trust the merits of Jesus Christ, we'll trust no other merits but Jesus Christ. The source of God's goodness to us resides altogether in His sovereign mercy. Christ alone accomplished salvation. Everything concerning salvation was accomplished for us and in us by the Lord Jesus Christ. He chose us from the foundation of the world. He redeemed us by His blood. He justified us by His blood and His grace. And He called us by His gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is Christ alone who preserves us until eternal glory. We are kept by the power of God. And if any sinner is lost and goes to hell, he don't have anybody to blame but himself. Nobody to blame but himself. You will have no one to blame. But if anyone is saved, it will be the work of God alone. We will have no one to thank and have no one to thank but God. By grace, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Nothing else, nothing more, nothing less. I am what I am by the grace of God. And if by the grace of God I am, what am I by grace? Well, I'm a believing sinner. I'm a forgiven sinner. I'm a son of God. What a wonder. Behold, what manner of love is this that we should be called the sons of, that we should be called the sons of God? That's what it is to be what I am by the grace of God. I'm a saint. I'm a man of righteousness. I'm a perfect and perfected man, a blessed man, My iniquities have been forgiven. My sins have been put away by the blood of Jesus Christ. I am what I am by the grace of God. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Think of that. I am a stranger and a pilgrim here, a soldier, a man at rest and liberated at the same time, a new creation. For in Christ, you're a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In Christ, you're complete. You have need of nothing. In him dwell the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him. What does that mean? Can't nothing be added to you, and nothing can be taken away from you. You're complete. You're done. Stick a fork in you. You're done. That is me. How did that happen? By the grace of God. I am what I am, not by my works, nor by my will, nor by my worth, but by the grace of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. By grace. We sang two songs that spoke of his grace. Two hymns that spoke of his grace. By sovereign grace. That means grace that can't be stopped, cannot be altered, and cannot be hindered. Sovereign grace. Eternal grace. Grace that started before the world was and will be still going on after the world ends. Covenant grace. Grace that was established between God and his Son in a covenant of grace called the testimony of grace, called the testimony of the new covenant, sealed and ratified by his blood so that you have received all that he left for you in his will and testament. Grace upon grace. Redeeming grace. Bought back off the slave market of sin. Bought back. Taken to himself, never to be put on the slave market again, free at last, redeemed by the blood of the Lord. Prevenient grace, effectual grace, immutable grace, omnipotent grace, unconditional grace. This is my doctrine. This is my doctrine. This is the thing I know beyond any shadow of a doubt. I know this because I know something by God's grace of what I am by nature and what I am today as a man with who's both flesh and spirit. I know this. By the grace of God, I am what I am. I know this. Not only this is my beloved doctrine, it is my experience as well. By the grace of God, I am what I am. I know something of the depravity of my own heart. I haven't delved into the depths of it and don't really want to. What I know of myself, I don't like very much. But I've been made to know this about myself by grace. I, with eyes washed with tears, acknowledge that I am what I am by the grace of God, knowing my horrible condition by nature. What I was and where I was when the Lord interrupted my corrupt and hell-bound career, I'm constantly made to confess. By the grace of God, I am what I am. I'm a preacher of the gospel by God's grace. And this place, this pulpit, this what some used to call the sacred desk, the weeds of pride grow here taller, stronger, and faster than anywhere else. And I have to confess, I am what I am by the grace of God. When I feel the power of lusts within and temptations without, I'm compelled to confess. By the grace of God, I am what I am. When I am preserved in the midst of temptations to which my flesh so naturally is inclined, I am compelled to confess. By the grace of God, I am what I am. When I am met with numerous trials, which I've seen others overcome, I have to confess, by the grace of God, I am what I am. When I see others whom I esteem highly for the gospel's sake fall and turn from faith, I have to confess, by the grace of God, I am what I am. When after some fall I am recovered and find in my heart a modicum of revival and renewed interest in Jesus Christ, I'm constrained to confess, by the grace of God. I am what I am. When I am given pause to rejoice in the fullness of God's blessings, consider the greatness of his works, I can only say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. When our Lord rolls up the sky and sets this old blue orb aflame, when he makes all things new and at last I stand before him in glory, you know what my confession will be? It will have to be this. I am what I am by the grace of God. This is my singular source of gratitude. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou hast not received? And if thou hast received it, why do you boast as if you have not received it? I am what I am by the grace of God. Every believer realizes that the only distinction between him and any other person is the distinguishing grace of God. There's no difference between me and the worst and the vilest of men. Now, there's some people that do things, I say, that person ought to be shot in the head. You know, you feel that way too about some people when they do these vile and awful things. That's me. That's me. Every lady here, wonderful ladies, looking fine, pretty ladies, wonderful ladies. No difference between you and the worst disease-infected harlot walking some street in L.A. today. No difference at all except the grace of God. Think on it. Think on it. Every believer realizes that. When you peruse the midnight black catalog, the enumeration of human sin and depravity, remember these words of Paul to the Corinthian church. He said, and such were some of you. Such were some of you. But now, but, there's that word again, but now, by grace, the grace of God, and only by the grace of God, you're washed, you're justified, you're sanctified. Coming to a verdict about what we are and having revealed to us what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, what else can we say? But by the grace of God, I am what I am. In our text in verse 10, Paul says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me is not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which is in me. His grace was bestowed on me, he said. And it was not in vain. How am I in possession of this grace? It was bestowed upon me. It was put upon me. And it was not in vain because here I am by that wondrous grace. Read our condition in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26 through 31. He didn't call many mighty nor many noble. Who did he choose? Well, he chose the finest and the best to come out of the theological seminary. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. He chose the weak and the foolish and the nothings. Why? To say to the strong and the smart and the wise and the prudent and the something, that salvation is by grace. So no flesh would glory in his presence. We are here by grace. This whole thing is for the glorification of his grace. This matter of our saving of our soul is not about us. It's about his grace. It's about the glory of his grace. In Ephesians chapter 1, that's made very clear. In Ephesians chapter 1, if you'll turn there, he says this in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he's chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his own will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. That's why he did it. His grace. Why did he save people like us? Our Lord said the world's going to know it. In John 17, the world's going to know. The world's going to know that God saved you. The world's going to know that God loved you like he loved me. He loved me before the foundation of the world. The world's going to know that. How? Because they know, they can see what we are by nature.
And they say, how in the world can that be? There's only one way. If it's done by unmerited favor, that God showed us favor when we could not merit it. He saved sinners to honor His grace, to glorify His grace. So the sinner says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. When I feel that power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I know I understand it and appreciate it because it's revealed to me, and I know it's revealed to me by God's grace. Sometimes I get the idea that I know something that other people don't know, and maybe that wretched pride works up in my body, and I'm thinking, I'm somebody, but I'm not. I am what I am by the grace of God. Is this your testimony? Is this what you've experienced? Is this your experience? If it is, then the grace of God is what made you so. If that's my experience, I can walk before God in full assurance of faith because I didn't have anything to do with my salvation. He did it all. This is not a matter of feeling, but of faith, of believing God. My feelings and emotions can never rise above the source of where they come, and they come from a depraved, wicked man by nature. Faith has to do with God and His eternal word. Feelings have to do with me. Faith is a living link connecting the heart that has faith with the God who has given faith. My feelings and emotions, no matter how intense and real, can never connect my soul with God. That's where religion is, feelings and emotions and sentiment, getting people worked up. I remember many years ago I was at a place where a fellow said he believed sovereign grace, and he sang 10 songs. Kept singing songs. I was set up to preach. I'd been working all week like a dog, helping him build a foundation of a house, and sang 10 songs. About number 8 song, he says, I feel like the Holy Spirit's, I'm feeling His presence. And number 9, I'm feeling it a little more. And finally, the 10th song, he said, the Holy Spirit is here. That's the problem with this thinking. They say the Holy Spirit has to come down. Well, the Lord said the Holy Spirit lives in us. He ain't got to come down from nowhere, does He? He's in us, and He takes the things of Christ and reveals them unto us. That's the Holy Spirit of God. It ain't about feelings. It's about believing. My feelings, no matter how intense, can never connect me with God. My feelings are neither divine nor eternal. They are human, deceptive, and fleeting. They are like Jonah's gourd, which sprang up in the night and perished in the night. Not so with faith. Feelings are occupied with self. Faith is occupied with Christ. Feelings look inward. Faith looks outward and upward. Feelings leave my soul in doubt. Faith leaves my soul in peace. Feelings have to do with my fickle, fluctuating condition. Faith has to do with Christ's enduring sacrifice and God's eternal revealed truth. What should be the result of the knowledge that by the grace of God I am what I am? One result should be true humility. I have a problem with humility. It's one of those strange things that just almost within reach, you think, I think I understand it, and I don't. When I say things like, well, I'm not humble, I really think that's an humble statement. And that it's a weird thing that you think of. But grace, if I believe in grace, if I really understand that I am what I am by grace, I am humbled by that, knowing that I had nothing to do with my salvation. It's all of grace. I'm not speaking about posture or countenance when I talk about humility or downcast affectation. I speak of one who's been humbled by the fact that by the grace of God I am what I am. Such knowledge should result in a charitable and liberal spirit even to those who hate me. It should. I'm sad to confess that it isn't always the case in my life. Such glorious truth must create in me a heart of thanksgiving. You ever wonder why the Lord said so often in Scripture to be thankful? Because we're not. He never tells us to do something or gives us an admonition unless there's a reason for it. And one thing we hate in our own lives is ingratitude. And oh, if we truly believed that God saved us by grace, how thankful we would be. How thankful we would be. If by the grace of God I am what I am, I should be a man consecrated and devoted to the gospel of Jesus Christ, for that is the declaration of God's grace. If by grace I am what I am, I should never despair of the salvation of anyone I meet. Never. Because he saved me by grace. Reckon he could save you? I should never despair of my children being saved, or those whom I'm privileged to preach. Because it is true that by the grace of God I am what I am. I can preach the gospel to you with great confident joy and beseech you now by the mercies of God, with all speed, fly to Jesus Christ. Be found in him. What God has done for me, he is able to do for you. By the grace of God, I am who I am.